Welcome back to Through the Word, Highway 101 today in Psalm 101. How are you about New Year's resolutions? I'm okay. I mean, I break them, of course, but that never stops me from making them. Each time I reach higher, I go further, even if I'm not perfect. It's what Eugene Peterson calls the power of a long obedience in the same direction. David knew that life was like a highway, and he wanted to get on that road and go as straight as he could. So he tells God how he's going to walk the line in verse 1 by giving him a series of resolutions. Verse 1, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. Those first three verses read like New Year's resolutions. I will. Four times David says I will, and then pledges what he'll do. These are the resolutions of a young man about to become king. Someone who wants to rule differently. Someone who wants to reach higher and go further than the king before him. These are the kingly oaths of David at his coronation. And he's telling God and us how he intends to rule. So honoring God begins with worship. Verse 1, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, Lord, I will sing praise. A righteous king is always a worshiping king. Once again, David sings of God's love, his favorite theme. And there's nothing better in all the world than to experience God's love, to bask in it like the rays of the sun, and bathe in the rain of God's mercy and favor. But David also sings about God's justice. Another way to think of justice is God's fairness. He's predictable. He makes sense. He's not arbitrary or hard to figure out. David goes on to say in verse 2, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. Great resolution. Think he can keep it? If you've read the story of David's life, you know he doesn't. But he loves God, so he makes the resolution to obey. Jesus equated obedience with love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Perhaps we should aim higher than we do sometimes. But if you doubted this came from love, just listen to the flip side of the verse. When will you come to me? David knew God. He'd seen God move in his life times before, but he feels alone right now, just like we all probably would in his shoes. Someone crowning us king, being super young and inexperienced, burdening our shoulders with the weight of an entire kingdom. So many lives, so many decisions, so much temptation. Lonely is the head that wears the crown. Come to me, Lord. When will you come to me? I need you. But before you rule a kingdom, you first need to learn to rule your own backyard. So David pledges, I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. As Howard Hendricks once said, if your Christianity doesn't work at home, don't export it. Verse 3, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. David doesn't want to be part of anything that's gross, anything that's going to put distance between him and God. David is drawing a perimeter around himself here because he fears temptation. We've all seen people who act like Pharisees and shun others because they're too evil. But that's not what David's doing here. David is afraid of the evil in his own heart. He knows that to surround himself with the perverse in heart will affect his own heart and his ability to rule as a man after God's heart. That's why Paul tells the Corinthians, bad company corrupts good character. Verse 5, whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. Verse 6, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. the one whose walk is blameless, will minister to me. David's eyes search out the crowds to rest on the faithful and bring them in close, those whom he feels safe with, those he can trust. They whose walk is blameless. David says, I'll let those ones in. I'll bring them into my circle of trust, and I'll let them serve me. Never underestimate the gaze of those who are in power. Over the years, I've learned that character counts for bosses and employers. They're watching, just like David is, and they take note. Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe kept a plaque on his desk, which read, Remember that when occupying a smaller space, someone is secretly measuring you for a bigger one. And even if you don't know if a boss or person in power is watching, God certainly is, and it matters to him. But David doubles down on his protective perimeter in verse 7. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Liars and deceivers, they're not welcome. Years ago, folk singer Woody Guthrie covered a traditional African-American gospel song first recorded in 1922 called This Train is Bound for Glory. The lyrics agree with David here when they say, This train don't carry no liars. This train don't carry no rustlers. Side street walkers, two-bit hustlers. This train is bound for glory. And as heaven's gate slams shut in the book of Revelation, John the Apostle of Love observes, Outside are liars. Like David, like God, neither one will surround himself with liars. And it's a good thing that Jesus might have smuggled a few of us liars in through those gates. If not for the cross, the gates of heaven would be shut against me and you. I mean, I try not to lie. We talked about resolutions, remember? I will do this. I will do that. And sometimes I don't always do those things. But that's another reason to hate sin. Perversion and sins like lying were what made Jesus being nailed to a cross necessary. Sin caused the greatest injustice that ever occurred 2,000 years ago. And yet, we sing of God's love, justice, and mercy because of the cross. In all, there are 14 wills in this psalm. David has resolved what kind of king he will be. What about you? Have you resolved what kind of Christian you'll be? How you'll rule your life and keep it safe? Not one who walks in self-righteousness as if all others around you are evil, but one who walks in God's righteousness, humbly accepting the forgiveness earned for you by Jesus, yet hating and fearing sin's corruption in your own soul. Jesus instructed his disciples to wisely watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. It's good advice for us too. David makes his resolutions because in his heart is the desire to not compromise, but to walk with God faithfully. Remember, he's just inherited a broken kingdom from King Saul, who strayed from God, and the fear that grips David that he might end up the same way or suffer the same fate causes him to get serious with his I wills. Any sane person would wonder what the weight of a crown like David was about to wear would do to them. So David ends in verse 8. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Whoa, David, that sounds pretty severe, pretty radical. But in David's mind, if you want to live in the city of the Lord, you need to live unto the Lord. David will begin cleaning up the kingdom from day one. He'll start early and not stop until the job is done. The problem with the generation before David during the time of Judges was that each one did what was right in their own eyes. And under the reign of Saul, they didn't fully eradicate the sin out of the land like God told them to. We're told that instead of obeying God and driving all the pagans out, they let them stay. And that led to their own compromise. May we be as ruthless as David is with the sin in our own hearts. As Paul said about sin, kill it with fire. Wait, no, that's spiders. Never mind, that's for spiders. But Paul did say, put to death the sin that remains in your body, that you might live. That is a no-compromise stance that Paul encourages all of us to take, because we love God and want to obey Him. May we obey God because we love Him and hate what He hates. It may not be the new year, but I'm willing to start making some resolutions to change things in my own life, just like David was. How about you?
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.